Hi, welcome to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan, your host of the Daily Challenges, and today is Wednesday, the day we try to understand how the Bible passage we read yesterday makes sense in our lives today. Yesterday we read a story about God, it's a challenging one, God promising that he was going to kill the firstborn male of every Egyptian family because Egypt and its king, Pharaoh, would not let his people leave. They wouldn't let the people of Israel be freed from slavery in Egypt. And God had tried to get Pharaoh's attention many times, using 9 different plagues already, and this was the 10th one, where God was promising that this would happen. He was going to hit them where it hurt most, with the firstborn males, the most valued child in every family. He was going to impact their livelihood and their future that way, because those sons represented the family's future. And he was also going to hit their livestock, their ability to eat. Wasn't going to wipe them out, but he was going to kill every firstborn male cattle as well. And then finally, he was asking the Israelites to politely ask the Egyptians for all their jewelry. It seems like a crazy thing to do, but amazingly it works. Because apparently the Israelites and Moses are held in high esteem by the Egyptians now. Everybody except Pharaoh, obviously, and maybe a few people around him. They probably see what's been happening as they've suffered each of their plagues. They see that the God of Israel is clearly much greater than their gods, much greater than their Pharaoh, their king. They probably want to see the Israelites have their freedom. They recognize some of the unfairness now, the oppression they've been under, and there's some mutual respect going on there. Unfortunately, this still hasn't worked for Pharaoh. Now, the death of animals, humans, especially children, is clearly not something we want to relish. It's not something we want to celebrate lightly. In this story, we see, though, that this is God's 10th attempt to get through to Pharaoh, to release an entire people, hundreds of thousands of people, from slavery and oppression and the injury and death that they were facing as slaves laying bricks to build pyramids and all these pet projects of Pharaoh. I don't want to say that justifies the means, but it certainly seems that God is justified in what he's doing. And if we look to him for our moral compass, rather than trying to judge God by our moral compass, then it's clear that this is a necessary thing, that this is a necessary part of God's plan, even though it is horrific and painful and involves at least the physical deaths of these Egyptians. Now they were going to leave Egypt, not to die in the desert, but with the wealth and riches of the Egyptians, with livestock, they were going to leave with God's protection, the protection of Almighty God. So they were clearly leaving on a good foot. He was going to protect them and care for them, and that's why he wanted to teach them a few things through this too. This wasn't just about teaching Pharaoh or the Egyptians something. This process of the plagues, culminating in this 10th plague, the death of the firstborns, was really meant to teach everybody something. Not just Egypt, not just Pharaoh, but Israel as well. He wanted them to be able to know and trust him as the sole provider of their deliverance from slavery, as the sole provider of their life from now on. God wants them to establish this deep level of trust, because they're going to go through some challenging times as they do wander in the desert, as they're tempted to return to Egypt, as they face internal division. God wants them to remember who brought them out of Egypt, that it wasn't Moses' idea, that it was God's idea, God's plan, and God is leading and protecting them. He wants them to remember that, both in the immediate future as they move towards the promised land and throughout their history, because in the future they're going to face other oppressors. They'll be in exile again, overlorded by other emperors and other empires. And so he wants them to know who to look to in the future when they face oppression. The issue is that right now God's firstborn family are oppressed by Pharaoh. Pharaoh doesn't want to let God have his firstborn son. And so with this warning, God is essentially saying to Pharaoh, you give me back my firstborn. Since you won't, I will take yours. Unfortunately, Pharaoh doesn't heed this warning. He still doesn't let Israel go. And so this plan actually happens. although they'll face this kind of oppression, and they'll never be the largest, most powerful, most flashy nation on earth, he wants them to remember that they're his nation, that they're his people, that they are like his firstborn son, his most valued child, who he's got special plans for and special responsibilities he's going to give to them. So he wants them to be his firstborn nation, his firstborn children. He gives them a special role, special responsibilities, a special place in his family, and he plans for them to survive this ordeal. As he's already hinting at in this passage, not even a dog will bark at them during this ordeal. They're not going to be hurt. They're not even going to be scared. We'll see how, because next week we're actually going to spend the whole week looking at what's called the Passover, when God passed over the Israelites. We'll look at how that happened. But first, I've got a question for you to think about today. How do you think this story, horrific as it is, could possibly point us towards Jesus? We'll have a great discussion. I'll see you tomorrow.